you're jumping onto white base.
The whatever radiation there, the Minkowski radiation or whatever is...
Minkowski particles.
There we go.
It's not actually a radiation.
The Minkowski particles.
But it probably should be.
It's particles.
All right.
You know, particles.
Of course.
But they, science had only come so far back then when I was born.
All right, hello and welcome once more to Superhuman Samurai Cyberpod. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And once again, we are going back to Gundam Quux, or G-Quux?
G-Quux. It's G-Quux.
Is the usual way it's said. I still like to say G-Quax. But as mentioned in this episode, it is a placeholder name, because it doesn't, like, Quux come from programming or something? Like, it's just a filler
yes,
thing.
Yes, it is it's something that's commonly used as a placeholder, because specifically it is meaningless. Which is probably why the engineer in this episode assumes that it is a placeholder.
It's like Gundam TK.
Yes.
Gundam TBD.
Yes, it is actually a lot like Gundam TBD.
And today we are watching the third episode, Machu in Clan Battle.
Yay.
So you'll
Gundam
recall
Lore Ipsum.
So you recall the first episode, we sort of were introduced to the characters and the setting. And the second episode, we went back in time and found out this is a wacky what-if from the world of Gundam.
Gotta get back
Yay!
In time.
Yay! It's a secret third thing.
Yes. And then this episode, we're just kind of getting down to the plot.
Yep.
Yes, we are now fully into the coffee shop AU.
Yes.
Without a coffee shop.
Uatu is out there in space, seeing what's going on. We're there.
So we open up with this guy Xavier. He's been taken in. He's been arrested.
Well, and they say Xavier, or the French way.
Xavier, okay. Yeah.
But we're probably just going to stick to Xavier because
yes.
Charles.
Uh huh.
It is easier for me to remember that pronunciation of it instead of having to just type out Xavier.
So yeah, he's been smacked around a little, and he is now in police custody.
Oops.
And is one of these cops named Chachi?
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, according to the wiki, yes. Ward and Chachi.
It's close enough to Chachi.
And I think, and then we cut back to these military guys, and they're like, "Who would ever steal a Gundam?" Ignoring the fact that this whole timeline exists because somebody stole a Gundam,
yes.
And also,
yeah, well, who else would steal a Gundam?
Apparently, people are just constantly stealing Gundams at all times in Gundam.
That's the plot of every first episode of Gundam.
To be fair, in this timeline, this is only the second time that it's happened.
Yes. I think. Well, yeah, unless it comes up in a spin-off.
It's like being surprised when Camille does it, but then by the time Judo is doing it, then, it's...
Because of backfilling, Camille is like the fifth person who's done it.
Well, yeah, but that's...
Also,
all the excessive, like, retconning stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
And has anybody ever thought of, I don't know, giving these like a password or keys?
Well,
or anything like this?
It had a key, but she had it. And also, Haro seems to be up to something.
Yes. And the Omega.
I do.
Thingy.
I really like in the ship's bridge, there are those two seats that are like up, that are raised.
Yeah.
And that is a very, like, iconic thing from where this, when the ship was in the original series. So I really love that there's that one little kind of unique detail about the ship's bridge that's like, this is the white base.
Yeah. It's weird. I think those top two are communications, maybe?
Yeah, I think they're, like, comms positions. But I like that they're there. It's very distinct.
Well, they're also they're chattering up there. They're the chorus in the background.
Yeah, yes. They're usually manned by characters who get speaking lines, but not names.
So now we cut to our heroine Amate or Machu, and it turns out she's a mother.
Yes. Yeah. Amazingly, for an anime main character.
For a Gundam, well, Gundam,
I mean,
Camille
had parents until they got murdered.
Yes, it is. Well, okay, technically, both of Amuro's parents do live in the original show.
Yeah, Amuro's parents survive. They're just kind of shitty. I mean, I guess his mom is fine. His mom is just living on Earth, and then his dad
has decompression sickness.
Well, he was an asshole first, and then he got decompression sickness.
Yes. Judo's parents...
He was a bad father first.
Judo's parents, I think, are alive, but we never see them. They may be dead. Yeah, he may just be lying to his little sister.
That's possible, but it is, like, implied that they're just off somewhere else being migrant labor or something.
So in Gundam, traditionally, it's sort of a 50-50 if your parents are dead.
Yes, or...
Well, wasn't the recent series actually named Iron-Blooded Orphans or something?
Okay, yes, everyone... Well, no, not everyone, but most of them there were orphans, yes.
There's a lot of war going on.
Well, it better be. That's the title of the show.
Yeah, you can't just call the show that.
Yeah.
Paid for orphans, damn it.
There are a couple of them who have family, like Biscuit. Biscuit has a grandmother and little sisters. But I think his parents are dead.
Camille's parents just get actively fridged. Yes. Like,
you know,
they, like, specifically
three, I think.
Not just the writers, but specifically his mother gets killed by other people trying to cause him harm.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, we will kill your mother, and then they do.
In front of him.
Ooh.
Yes. Zeta's rough.
Yeah.
Zeta's pretty harsh.
Anyway, this show...
I forget whether his father is killed specifically for being his father or not.
I think, like, in the manga adaptation, I think his dad dies.
But his mother
is
definitely killed
specifically
to mess with this, like, 15-year-old child.
Or maybe in, like, the movie version, like, his dad also dies. I don't know. Anyway, back to this show. We're digressing.
Yes. So she's got a mother, seemingly no father, and just having a rough time of it in her future school here.
She doesn't understand why she has to do things like career aptitude tests.
Yeah, she's having a rough time in her rather expensive school she's going to with college plans.
Yes, she does not want to go to cram school.
Like she's well off.
Good old cram school.
Hmm. And of course, she's also thinking about getting out and competing in this Gundam BattleBots.
Yes, of course, not telling her mother about that.
No.
But thinking about it.
So we now cut to the gang of vaguely unsavory characters who we met in the first episode.
I love them. They're so sketchy.
Well, I like Anki, and the rest of them are very... Well, they the most feel like, oh, the character designer for this show worked on Pokemon.
Is Anki the one who kind of looks like anime Anya Taylor-Joy?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Although for us, she sort of looks like Haman Karn, but definitely isn't.
I have no idea who that is.
Yeah,
she's
there
Gundam
was
character.
A theory that... She was someone else, just like undercover scouting for new types, but then she says something in a later episode that rules that out. So,
yeah.
Nope, she's just her. She's just a vaguely unsavory underground fight manager.
And so this is where we are talking about how G-Quax is a placeholder, and it's supposed to conceal the suit's true name. But also, if they ever find out its true name, it'll blow up.
Well, they're messing with it, trying to, like, get deeper into the
code. They're basically hacking it.
And there's, like, a self-destruct thingy. It's like, if we go too deep, this sucker's gonna blow up, so we can't do that.
Yeah, they're basically, they're hacking into its, like, you know, it's, my brain is not making words happen today. It's diagnostic program. They're hacking into its diagnostics to find out information about its schematics, and they're, you know, it's a military secret. So, also, someone comments that it has teeth.
Yes.
And I think Anki says it's probably some kind of gimmick or something.
Mm. What? Mm, wow.
When there were G-Quax bingo cards going around the internet, one of them was the G-Quax opens its mouth. Because notably, I mean, the most notable mecha from this design team is, you know, very toothy.
What? Which one is that?
Notoriously toothy.
Is that one of those Evangelions?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's.
So
that's,
I like that they.
As we were watching, it was like, wait, is that actually going to happen, or is this a red herring? It was hard to tell for the longest time.
Listen, if this Gundam just, like, if it's, like, grappling with another Gundam and then just, like, bites it, best Gundam.
But yes, they do comment as they're looking it over that it has teeth.
Oh, and the weather today is sunny.
Yes, it's, they check the weather schedule, which, of course, because this is a space colony, so the weather is on a schedule.
Yeah, because it's climate controlled. You're the big tube. Yes. You can make it a rainy day.
It's something that comes up briefly when they're visiting Side 6 in the original series, because someone makes some comment about them having forgotten to check the schedule to see that it was supposed to be raining that day. So they get caught in the rain because they forgot to check the weather schedule. Not the forecast, the schedule.
Yes. And we check in up with our favorite illegal courier / deli eats delivery woman, Neon.
Yes. Also, I do like that, as, you know, at the end of them examining the G-Quax, you know, Machu's there, and she's like, I need to, like, go home. But then someone tries, they're like, no, you shouldn't be piloting this thing. And someone tried to tell her no, and that's it. You can't tell her no.
She's very stubborn.
You try to tell her no, and it's all over.
And then, like, do any of you guys have homes?
I can definitely see them just, like, sleeping in the office for their team. Yeah.
Because they have a whole office warehouse setup thing.
They probably have, like, a cot.
They're just living off energy drinks and whatever the Gundam equivalent of cocaine is.
Yeah. I feel like the rest of the crew probably lives there. Anki might have a small apartment.
Yeah. She feels like she would actually have a small apartment, but everyone else is just sleeping on, like, a mattress on the floor back in the corner behind their stolen Zakus.
Yeah, the computer guy never leaves the office.
Just try to sleep, pretend not to notice which of these guys is jerking. Living with men is disgusting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, Neon.
So yeah, we catch up with Neon, who has another delivery to make, and this time, if she doesn't make it, she's 100% fired.
Yeah.
She's wearing giant sunglasses to make up for the fact that she got a big shiner in the fighting last time.
We go to school. Amate is, like, looking up Char on Wikipedia.
Yes. Yeah. She's like, who's this Char guy they're talking about? The Red Comet.
And then immediately after mentioning his name, she has a new type flash.
Spider senses her. Gundam senses her tank.
Yes.
So she goes out and she finds that this guy is tagging this spot under her bridge. This guy named Shuji. He is the pilot of the mysterious Red Comet.
He's a manic pixie dream boy.
Yeah, he is.
He sniffs her.
He puts an arm around her and pulls her over to a shoulder and then smells her hair.
Yeah, he's a weird hobo boy.
He does remind me a bit of Galma from Dino Xenon.
Oh, yeah. Like, especially Galma is like a caffeinated version of Shuji.
Yeah, Shuji is like the pot version, and Galma is like the cocaine version.
Yes.
He's just a weird boy doing art under a bridge.
Mm. He's also got like a robot toaster.
Yeah, he's... I forget what it's called, but it's the equivalent of a Haro, but more of a crab and a cube.
It's so cute.
Wait, what is it called? It has a name. I don't remember.
I was going to say, look it up.
I'm trying. There's pictures of it everywhere. But... Oh, conch.
It just turns out...
Why conch? I don't know. It doesn't look like a conch shell.
No. So that's just unnecessarily confusing. So, and it turns out that Neon needs to make her delivery to him as well. Because she's got the installer for, I guess, a Gundam or something?
Because last time we saw him, his broke somehow, I guess, in a fight.
Right.
So he was buying a new one from the courier guy, but...
From the black market mobile suit parts.
Yeah.
Salesman.
But as all three of them, they're there, Machu bumps into him, and his one remaining coin, which is apparently... was like 50,000 heights, falls into the river.
Was it even that much though?
I don't even know if he had that much. He may not have had enough money, but it was all he had is now in the river. Oh, and heights is a known currency from Gundam. I think it came up in 0080 or 0083. Okay. It was one of them.
This established space currency.
Yeah.
But yes, she bumps into him and his one remaining money just goes plop into the canal. And he's just like, oh, I guess I don't have any money to pay you.
Oh, I like the cutaway when Machu, like, gives him, like, when Shuji asks for her name, and she just blurts out Machu, which is her childhood nickname, and she just turns to the fourth wall and is like, why the fuck did I give him that name?
Yes, like I said, it's like a Robert Bobby kind of thing, so.
And so her solution is, hey, what if we teamed up to do these battle bots, and then you'll get money to pay her off, and she won't get... I don't know, her organ sold, whatever happens when you get fired by gangsters.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like we're entering, like, organ stealing territory with the people she's working for.
I'm not sure he's that skeevy, but she is pretty much, like, trying to get any job she can because she is an illegal immigrant, technically.
Yeah.
Oh, and Machu says that Nyan is a cute name.
Of course, it's the sound of cat.
She says it's a surprisingly cute name because Nyan is a very sort of like tall and gangly and
The scene when they're walking in the sewers after Sewer Boy leads them towards his place, like, come down this sewer pipe and I will lead you to a secondary place to have a discussion. That's creepy. But at least there's the two of them together. But like Machu, Nyan is tall and slim, standing behind Machu with her cell phone light to lead the way. And Machu's head is a perfect circle.
Shuji does seem like someone who you should not allow to lead you to a second location.
Yeah, no. To quote Jack Donaghy, never go with a hippie to a second location.
Yes.
No.
So while all this is happening, our pal Chalia, he of the turquoise beard, he's
fans mostly called him Green Hair.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And, yeah. It's not like what you would call green. It is more turquoise-ish, but in comparison to Char, Char's red, he's green.
Uh-huh. I see.
Although Char is blonde, but...
And he's meeting with Cameron Bloom, some sort of government official.
Yes!
Is this like an established guy from Gundam?
Yes!
Yay!
Okay.
He was in, like, two episodes.
I thought he was in...
I believe...
He's in the side six episodes, which this is side six, so that's why it's tying together. He's like a presidential aide or something. Something in the government.
Yes. He was, I guess, like, betrothed?
Yeah, fiancé or something to Mirai, who was on the bridge of the original white base... Who had.
And it was a whole thing because she and Bright kind of had vibes going on.
Lot.
You remember and Bright.
Did eventually get married.
Yes, she is Hathaway's mother.
Yes.
Okay, well, I know Hathaway because I watched that movie, I believe, 100 years ago.
Yes.
Yes. So Hathaway cannot exist in this continuity because in the original, well, presumably not, because. Mirai was betrothed, fiancé, or whatever, to this guy.
And yeah, he was...
I don't think we ever get a confirmation in this series, but presumably, maybe they did eventually get married.
He was basically the romantic complication to Mirai and Bright's relationship.
One of them.
The James Marsden, if you will.
I mean, yeah.
He's the main one.
I'm not talking about Emily right now, sir. We will not speak of Emily.
I was thinking about Slegger.
Well, yeah, there was Slegger, too.
Slegger's a cunt, but he was there. Anyway, yeah, so it's a complicated thing. He's a character
Slegger
that...
was extremely American. He was not explicitly American, but he was incredibly American-coded.
And you... Wait, didn't you bring up Marsden, Rob?
It's always the romantic complication.
Yes.
He's usually not the guy...
Which is kind of what...
Yeah,
well, is Marsden the one in Superman Returns?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Ah, okay. That's kind of how... Cameron Bloom is a reasonable guy. Like, he's annoyed that his fiance is, like, hitting on another guy. But in the end, he's like... Yeah, okay, you love him, fine. We're still friends. Because he comes up in later series.
Yeah, Marsden archetype.
He's the one who's, like, the sensible choice, but also he's, like,
kind
not
of boring.
Terrible
he's
about
usually
it.
Not, like,
no,
you know,
because does he cop up in Zeta or something?
I think
like,
he
I
might,
think
briefly.
Mirai calls in a favor to him in some future series.
Yeah, so they remain friends. It's not, like, a big deal, but, yeah. This is a guy who's been here before.
He's not like the wedding singer's Glenn Guglia, where it turns out he's a total dick. He's just not... He's not your endgame romantic interest.
Yes. Hmm. Exactly.
So, he's meeting with Chalia. And, you know, they're getting this guy to jail because he's needed for Gundam business.
Yeah. Yeah, and Charlie has pulled some nonsense in Zabi government to get him release papers signed yesterday.
Yes.
Yep.
It's like, he's been released yesterday. Hand him over.
Yeah. So then Charlie and Xavier at like this bar. Just kind of seems like a nice bar.
Yeah, Gundam has a lot of nice
also,
bars.
Xavier has extremely main character eyes.
Who?
Xavier.
He's got, like, his eyes are mostly blue, but they're green on the bottom. Like, they're very important main character
they're
eyes.
Very main, yeah, they're very main character eyes. But anyway, yes, they go to a very nice, it's like a bar you would have, like, attached to a business hotel.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I'm paying way too much for a whiskey sour at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a wall of liquor in the back, mirrors and stuff.
Which is why I'm a little confused that apparently they're showing are these like illegal underground robot fights on the TV?
No, because like, Chalia gets a beep on his, like, little cell phone, and then he tells the bartender, turn the TV on.
Oh, I missed that he got a beep on his phone. I figured he got a beep on his new type senses.
No, there was, or maybe...
The G-Quux had been activated.
Something popped up where he told the bartender, turn on the TV, because there's a Gundam fight.
Yes.
But it's just on, like, regular TV, like, it's so far. Illegal robot.
Illegal underground.
They do talk about them live streaming it, yeah. So I think it's more like the bar has a smart TV with YouTube or Twitch on it.
Yeah.
It's like a Twitch stream.
Bartender, can you put on the bum fights? Thank you.
Mega bum fights.
Yeah, we're doing. They're doing like a barbed wire death match tonight. Yeah.
I mean, once you get Shuji in there, it is kind of a bum fight.
Yes.
Now, could you two more Cosmos from the table, please?
Yes.
Oh yeah, what were they drinking? I didn't pay attention.
I didn't take a good look. I assume that the alcohol was lovingly depicted.
Hmm.
Yeah.
They both kind of strike me as
now
a
that
couple
they let
of,
computers do the robots.
They strike me a little as a couple of girl drink drunks.
I
think
they really do, no. Especially Shalia.
No, Shalia seems like
that'll be a chocolate choo choo for my friend, and I will have a paper blood.
Yeah. But it might be fancy. Shalia to me, I think of like gin and tonic or whiskey or something. Maybe fancy, but
vodka soda.
Maybe.
I'd like a blue Hawaii to match my hair, please.
Yes. Yeah.
He probably does have a signature drink, yeah.
They have, like, a drink named after him.
Yes.
It's just a bunch of blue curacao.
Well, yeah, but it comes with, like, a cherry because he's chasing Char all the time.
Oh.
Thematic. Hmm. I have to do this at the anime convention bar that we will never run.
Hmm.
But could perhaps in another universe, in an alternate timeline.
It's also one of those coffee shop AUs, except we're running like a fancy.
Yes. Yeah,
I know some people, well, online, who did that at a con, and it sounded complex as hell.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, I'm sure.
For one, they needed a bigger room and, like, more people to run it. It just sounded like such a hassle to run a room bar.
Drunk and like into cosplay fights.
Yes. That's the most fun part.
Guy having, you know, three gimlets and now he's Naruto running all over the place.
Do we need to go to TFCon and get drunk?
Yes.
Do you drink, Rob?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
okay. Well, I'm a social drink, right? What?
I'm old. I get drunk easy now.
I'd have half a drink and then just start explaining to Doug Glynn how hard it was to write Armada fanfic that didn't come off as extremely homoerotic.
No, yeah.
I was once asked to explain the plot of Superior Spider-Man.
Well, there goes 2 hours.
Nice.
So the box is locked, the lights are on, it's robot fighting.
Yay! Time for fighting! This series is very good about it being time for fighting.
Yes.
And when Shuji pops in with a Gundam, Chalia and Anki both go interesting at the same time as it's cross-cut between scenes.
Yes. Because, yeah, Machu was all like, I have my own MAV.
Yeah, I got a guy. And don't rent a shitty Zaku with your crappy-ass pilot that I already outdid.
Yes.
I got a guy.
They're like, well, if your guy doesn't show up, we'll have our guy show up. No, her guy showed up.
Her guy's got a Gundam.
Haro is very excited about her MAV.
Oh, Haro's also excited because he gets to wear a hat.
Yes.
No way.
I really need
a
life-size version of this Haro that's an actual Bluetooth speaker.
it's Haro's hat. Machu's wearing it now because Anki said to disguise your face. Like, I don't know. You're in the cockpit. I mean...
She wears a hat.
Yeah.
I mean, people might see her getting in and out of it.
I guess, but they're secret.
And I'm excited because one of these Zaku's has just a big friggin' axe.
Yes.
Well, Machu also has an axe because she stole it from the police Zaku last episode.
Right.
Zaku's do traditionally have axes, but one of these ones does have an exceptionally good axe.
Yeah, the He-Talk, as they call it, because it's like it's not a beam saber. It's like monofilament, I think, is on the edge, or the equivalent of in this continuity.
Yes, it gets superheated blade, so it can cut through metal.
So yeah, we have a pretty, we have a pretty good fight here.
Yeah.
In zero G, it's fun, and trajectory is the word of the day.
Yes, there's...
One of these Gundams just gets a friggin' axe to the face, and it's awesome.
But yes. It's an axe that Machu had lost earlier in the fight and went spinning off into space. And new typey nonsense, yada, yada, yada. She managed to get in position to position the axe coming from behind her. She ducked, and it hit the Zaku in front of her.
Yes.
Yes. Which is because crazy. One of the ways that... new types are a lot like having the Force, is that they have a very good sense for where everything around them is. So, yes, she sees where her axe spun off to and where it's going, and she manages to get one of the Zaku's into just the right position for it to smack into it.
And they also kind of, like, synchronize their new type powers.
Yeah,
there is, because she gets flash-bombed, and she's freaking out a little bit, and Shuji, uses new-type magic to reach out to her, and...
Yeah, that's because in the original series, and many of the others, new-type, what a new-type is always fuzzy, but there's, like, two main schools of thought. It's, like, one, if you're better at spatial relations and being able to move in space... and feel things and manipulate things. And the other is, you're just psychic. And this fight does both.
I mean, it really is, and I'm not saying it was ripping off Star Wars, because they came out at the same time, but it really 79. Is very much a similar vibe to The Force.
Well, because...
I have to assume the beam saber was a deliberate Star Wars reference, though.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, I'm not sure what did the beam saber first. It probably was Star Wars definitely popularized it. I don't know if anything actually did it first. But in the 70s and even earlier, like, psychics and stuff in sci-fi was a trend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the whole idea, I've talked before at various times about Gundam, the original Gundam, being very much more of a hard sci-fi than a lot of other anime. And the thing is that at the time, it was a generally accepted hard sci-fi concept that in the future people would evolve psychic powers.
Oh, wait, when's, Jen, Lensman.
Yes, like Lensman.
Yes, when the fuck was Lensman?
I mean, in the 70s, people were very into, like, ESP.
Yeah.
Oh, Lensman was started in the mid-60s.
Well, no, Lensman, went way before that.
Well, it was an adaptation of books from the 30s, right?
What?
Wait, yeah, the original the original books were real early.
Triplanetary, the first one was 48.
48, okay.
And the rest of them were in the 50s. It won awards in 60.
Yeah, it's one of those things like how Lord of the Rings was fairly popular, but then... supercharged in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, like Lovecraft had a big...
because of the hippies.
Well, hippies and soft cover editions.
Yes.
Lots of soft cover books came out.
Yeah.
I mean, I had an English professor who, when I took a fantasy literature course, and I guess there was a time when you couldn't get Lord of the Rings in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it took a little while.
And then there was, like, a bootleg edition of it that came out in paperback that was enormously popular. He was kind of written not getting, because it then became extremely expensive as a rarity, because obviously you know, Tolkien got word and had them all burned.
As a collectible. Yeah, he seems like someone who would be extremely fussy about copyright. Not even copyright for the sake of copyright, but just because, like, a bootleg version might have typos, and that's not acceptable.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay, you were right, Jen. Lensman did start in the late 30s in Astounding Stories. It was serialized.
Okay.
I forgot about that part.
And then it was published, like, on its own in the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah. In book form. And then republished in the 60s.
So, yeah, it goes...
What the hell are
you doing? Goes way back, but definitely by the 60s and 70s, you got... It was, you know, not outside of the hard science side of science fiction that people could develop some sort of psychic powers in the future.
Yeah, because, like...
As part of normal evolution.
Nowadays, Lensman seems like not a hard sci-fi, but at the time, it kind of was.
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, in that he used physics a lot, like crackers for plants. What the fuck are you doing, Cat? You're getting out of here.
Cats gotta do cat things. Cats have to cause problems.
Cats gotta crawl on things. I'll be back.
I have a tortie curled up and napping on my laptop.
Not digging. You're getting out. Out. I know, I gotta clean up shit. I'm gonna be knocking crap everywhere. Okay. Keep going.
Cat has been wrangled.
Yes, cat has been wrangled, and boxes I need to cut up need to be moved, but not right now.
Okay, so anyway, once this axe has obliterated this one Zaku's face, she then tears it out of the face and then uses it to decapitate the other.
Decapitation, yay.
I believe we did, now they, Anki does explain to her that decapitation is what counts as a win in Gundam battles. But I think we have established that the pilot is not actually in the head, generally.
Right.
So that does not actually, ideally, hurt the pilot.
Machu wins. Fatality.
Cockpits and heads don't show up until much later in the main timeline. But yeah, cockpits are in the chest. Destroying the head just destroys the sensors.
Yeah, it blinds them, but it effectively disables the suit, but right. It does not harm the pilot.
So they're kind of following the fight rules from G Gundam. Destroy your opponent's head.
Or the fight rules from Highlander.
Well, that does kill them, though.
Well, that's true.
I mean, as the primary point of it, it kills them.
Yes. So, and that's pretty much where the episode ends. They're just like, you better get back here before, like, the cops get here.
Yeah. Shuji says what the Gundam says to him, which he's insane. The Gundam says it's time to run, and we should.
He's such a manic pixie dream boy.
Yeah.
Also, I like Chalia saying, as they're watching... Xavier is wondering if the Red Gundam is Char, and he says Captain Char wouldn't let someone else be his Mav.
Yeah, no, Char would be
in
charge.
And I'm like, you guys are so gay.
Yeah.
So gay. Well, no, I think what he's saying is that Char would not partner with anyone but him.
Oh, yeah, I guess that does imply. I was reading it as, oh no, Char would be the one in like Char
would be
with someone else's is Mav.
The lead position. No, I read it as Char is monogamous, which is
which
wildly
is
inaccurate. But getting a little sentimental there.
Hmm.
But I'm fully on board that ship. So yeah, and back at the Pomeranian headquarters, they are shocked to see a victory. And Anki is just like, she's getting a Grinch grin going on.
And yeah, so that that's pretty much the episode. And then we've got our theme music over our two heroines just living that swinging single gal life, which apparently does not happen in this show.
So incredibly vague spoiler for the end of the series, but I do have good news for you about the ending credits.
Huzzah!
Well, in that, I think last time you had wondered, or maybe it was the first time, you'd wondered, oh, are we going to ever see this scene in
the series? Is this entirely metaphorical, or does this at some point happen?
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, okay, so in the third episode, they just, like, move in together? And it's like a Mary Tyler Moore Rhoda thing.
We will say that it is not metaphorical entirely. It is a reference. We're just not there.
Well, it is a thing that does eventually actually occur.
Yes.
Our next episode is The Witch's War.
Yes. It's time for the Gilgoog!
Uh-huh. So is this in any way related to the Witch from Mercury?
Sort of, in the sense that they are...
The way the term is used, the witch.
Yeah, it's... Because in The Witch from Mercury, they're using witch as a term for basically particularly talented new type women.
Yeah.
All right, and I assume that is itself a reference to the Night Witches.
Probably.
Well, Soviet pilots from World War II.
Yeah.
Well, The Witch from Mercury is also, like, an entirely big, like, Shakespearean...
Well, The Tempest reference.
Yeah, it's got a lot of nods to The Tempest going on, too.
Does her Gundam have a head, like a pointy hat?
No.
I mean, it's always pretty pointy.
There is a broom, though. Well, a weapon that looks a lot like a broom.
I might have to, like, ride in like the original Green Goblin. They sort of let that rocket broomstick.
That'd no. be amazing. I did... I recently got the G-Quux model kit. The first one, because they are also doing a second one that's more representative of, like, the armaments and features it has in the final episode. Yeah. It is terrifying. I don't think I've made a Gundam kit that was designed recently. I forget whether we mentioned, but unlike something like Transformers... Bandai tends to keep Gundam kits in production even if they were designed like 20 years ago.
Yeah, usually. I mean, unless they make a new version.
Yeah, they'll make new versions sometimes, but you can go out and buy one that was designed a while back and was, you know, manufactured a couple months ago.
Yeah, I got an ACT guy in Toronto that's the mold is probably 20 years old.
Yeah, so this is the first one that I've gotten that's, like, extremely new, and it's terrifying. There's so many parts, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, also, it's, like, more complicated because, like, the color layouts, like, in the legs and things. And there's a lot of stickers. Have fun with those for paint.
And there's a lot of fiddly bits, and there's a lot... Because I generally consider it a point of pride not to use the stickers and just paint those details, but I might have to surrender here because I'm 46 years old and my hands are not what they used to be. And
yeah, there's stripes on the legs that are in weird spots.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. But that's pretty exciting. But I am also excited about the Gelgoog.
Anyway, also... G-Witch and this started production around the same time. Like, so there might have been concurrent ideas, which is how the witch might have showed up here.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, she's... And this actually may be more of a reference to the Night Witches, because this is just a, you know, a pilot who is very good and happens to be a woman.
Very good.
Yes, she is really good.
All right, so that does
like her kill count is ridiculous that they mention when we get there next time.
Ooh,
yeah, she has done a great deal of murder.
Oh,
All right, so that is it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with we'll be back in Rescue Bots action. But of course, until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are on Mastodon. We are on Blue Sky, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on IaconUnderground.net, where David and I have also been doing Iacon Underground Radio again, our news podcast for Transformers. And we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/IaconUnderground.
We have a Discord.
Yes, and we have a Discord. If you go to IaconUnderground.net, we do have a link there to our Discord. But for as little as a dollar a month, you get access to our monthly special episodes where we do, sometimes it's fun tie-in stuff, sometimes it's a big movie that's just come to streaming. Now, Rob, you have picked out some Fantastic Four animated feature for August. Now, for July, we did Superman, so we did an episode of the late aughts Legion of Superheroes cartoon, which is excellent, and people should try to, I guess you gotta buy it, because it's not available for streaming anywhere. You gotta buy it. But yes, you will be tormenting us with something that is on streaming, because Disney Plus has just sort of shoveled all of this stuff out onto their servers.
Oh, shoveled indeed. Let's just say it'll be a real revolting development.
Will it be worse than that Earth's Mightiest Heroes episode that we watched?
Oh. I'm going to say not as bad.
Will it be hornier than the She-Hulk episode that we watched?
Oh, God.
No. I don't think we've ever watched anything as horny as that She-Hulk episode.
Yeah, that was... Thanks, Bob Forward.
Yeah.
I got kids here, Bob Forward.
I'm trying to watch the stuff while I'm at work, Bob Forward.
I mean, that much apart from that, and that She-Hulk episode was definitely the horniest thing.
Yeah, it was.
Barring the odd episode of Beast Wars, I guess.
Yeah, but even that, wasn't as, erotic animation.
No.
But yes, Rob has chosen, he has cherry-picked some fine piece of Fantastic Four animated history to torment us with, to bring down our excitement from watching the actual movie, to temper it somewhat, or to make us appreciate it even more for seeing...
Well, you'll find out why they call me the Idol of Millions.
So we can see how bad, I mean, we've seen how bad things could be. We all watched Fan Forstick, or...
Yeah, see, I could have made you watch that. That's an hour and a half. This is only 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't... I haven't actually seen all of Fan Forstick. I have seen more than enough to know it sucks ass.
I watched it before seeing the new movie, and, the entire movie takes place in a gray abandoned warehouse.
Yeah. I did add that, even though for whatever reason I know why I kept overlooking the Hulk is because it didn't have Mark Ruffalo in it.
Yeah.
But I did include that in my big COVID movie drought catch up. Oh. And it was not great. It would have been improved though if Doom had had a ridiculous Tommy Wiseau accent. I stand by that.
The only commentary I can give it to Fan Forstick is referencing the scene that references Elfin Lied.
It did have Michael B. Jordan in it though.
It did. I mean, he's fine.
Which may be why it referenced Elfin Lied.
Oh, right. He is a noted anime enthusiast.
Uh-huh. Yes. He is a noted weeb.
Yes.
That'll be our Patreon next, I guess this coming month. And then next week we'll be back in Rescue Bots Academy action. So until then.
And next month we'll be back with the next episode of G-Quux.
Yes, we will.
Yes, more fighting.
Yeah.
Robot fights! Gilgoog.
Possibly witches? Question mark?
Just the one.
Witch singular.
But until then, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Big. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's how we got Haunted Palace. They ran out of good Poe ones. It's like, fuck it, let's do a Lovecraft.